Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. That's I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Of course, the Rolling Stones. It hit number one on this day in 1965. We're about to have a conversation about a really interesting thing that will pop up in Baltimore this weekend, the African Griot Book Fair for our children. And we're joined by Gillette Dickens in the studio here, trusted servant of the African Griot Book Fair for our children. I like that title. And Shorty Davis is in the house as well, party and ally of the African Griot Book Fair for children, but he didn't bring no ribs with him. And Deletta Gillespie is with us, who's a singer-songwriter and teacher, can be a major part of this. And welcome to have the three of you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
So let us begin. First of all, I mean, I've seen this stuff on Facebook, but maybe, Gillette, you could – I just want to find out about the origins of this, where this began. What is it that's happening?
Origins. There was a – on Facebook, a gentleman had an idea of going around the city and having book fairs for children all around different parks and different areas of the city. And I kind of piggybacked on that idea and came up with the concept of a book fair and going back to the old days where our grandparents used to sit us around the table and read to us and we kind of went back to that throwback kind of theme, and that's where I came with the the griot part of it. Did some research on African griots and said, yeah, that's it.
What did the research tell you when you said, yeah, that's it?
Again, we need to go back to those kind of virtues where seniors connected with the youth, the uncles and the aunts and everybody were a part of the upbringing of the children, and that's the theme of this event. We're going to have seniors there mingling with the kids, breaking down that age barrier. We definitely want to go back to that time where it was some unity in the family and the community.
Tell our listeners more about you and your work.
Oh, wow. Okay. I am, as you mentioned, singer-songwriter, but I also am a teaching artist in I work primarily in the realms of theater and music. I'm an adjunct professor at Coppin State University in the theater arts program, and I also adjunct at Towson in the African American Studies program. And so one of the things that I am very passionate about is literacy for children, and well, actually for all people, but literacy specifically for children through the use of the arts. And it's one thing for them to read a book, and obviously with the beautiful illustrations and the words and getting them used to the habit of reading, I'm especially passionate about making those words come to life, because sometimes seeing it enacted, seeing a live person actually enact a story or do an adaptation of a story sometimes can really add to the value of the reading experience and make them want more.
So this is taking place in Jewish Hill Park, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? It's on Sunday?
Yes.
Right? So what are people – what's going to happen when you're there? What's going to happen when people are there? I mean, and what are they – what can they expect when they come? It's from noon to 5?
Correct.
Over by the Columbia Pavilion?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can expect African drumming.
That's what part of it says. When you hear the drums, you know you're getting close, right?
Well, see, that's one of the throwback concepts again.
Right.
We originally, drumming and verbal communication was the only forms that we had to speak to each other. So when people ask me, well, Druid Hill Park's a big park, where's it going to be located? I tell them, listen for the sound of the drums, and that'll bring you right to us.
And even that concept, let me just stop for a second. Maybe as I read that on your poster that you all put out. But that idea, where do I come to listen to the sounds of the drums? Listen for the sounds of the drums.
Where do you come to?
When people say, where do I come to? How do I find it? You said, listen to the sounds of the drums.
Right.
That whole concept of listening to the drums is ancient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that you know,
sure.
Which one of the reasons that the slave owners in America banned the drum, right?
tap dancing also.
Right,
people,
right.
People don't understand that about tap dancing. People look at it and say that step and fetch it, but tap dancing was communication from us also. So we want to go back to that, get away from the cell phones and the computer games and the tablets. We've got drummers. We've got dancers, poets reading poetry, doing spoken word. Vendors, our vendors are only informational vendors. There's not going to be anything sold at this event. Our vendors are strictly informational. If they have a service that benefits a child or a family, that's what we want to do. Also, we've done some things, and with the vendors, we don't even charge them a fee. We just ask them to contribute. So that way it kind of gives them a feeling of being a part of the event. Moon bounce, face paintings, definitely a lot of spoken word. We definitely want to get that communication back between the elders and the children in the community. My right-hand man here.
Shorty.
Shorty. Shorty, 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 wherever I go, he goes.
Uh-oh.
You know, so Shorty's handling the food for us. I wouldn't trust anybody else to do it but him. He's proven, and we definitely need him around.
We have food. I know Shorty cooks. You can have food for vegetarians.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We're gonna have a guy named Dwayne Cousar is gonna come there from Brooklyn Farms, and he's gonna provide healthy eating solutions to the community.
Yep.
He's gonna have fresh vegetables and things of that nature, fresh fruit. I'm going to do the grill, but we're going to have – it's a community. You're going to eat off the table. The table's going to be full.
I'm sure it will be. And so I want to talk about some of this translation in terms of the elders and the young people talking together, the letter, and how the work you do kind of fosters that.
Oh, well, it brings a lot of people to the table. One of the things that – talking about tables and food food for the mind and food for the spirit. Personally, one of the things I do is I have a cabaret series called Songs of Protest, Songs of Peace. And I have performed it 4 or 5 times this year. There are 2 versions, but the one that's relevant to this conversation is the one around African-American history. I say that African-American history is American history, period.
Amen.
So we talk about some of the stories that you won't find in the history books, and I weave those stories together with song. And it's really wonderful because a lot of my students from all of the campuses that I've happened to teach at, CCBC and Morgan included, and even high school students come to the events, and I ask them to write a brief paragraph after, and they talk about how transformative it is when you have people who have went through the civil rights movement, who did the marching, who did the protesting, sharing their stories along with the information that I'm providing, the multimedia images, the songs we have to get up and march and sing, and it really is transformative. And so you've got the elder generation in the room with the younger generation sharing stories, sharing music, and there's a bridge that is crossed in history in those moments. There's a bridge in understanding in those moments. And so that's why I'm just really happy to be assisting Gillette in part of this wonderful, wonderful process that he's doing.
I mean, I think it is important because to share stories because the more I read about history, the more I talk to young people who were not alive when we were going to jail in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have there's so much misinformation.
Yeah.
There's so much disconnect.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's part of what it sounds like you all are trying to do is make that connection. Is to bring
Absolutely.
To bring this full circle.
Absolutely.
Definitely. You have scenarios. When we grew up, there were houses where you had the uncle on the first floor, you had the grandmother
right.
on the top floor, and 13 or 14 cousins running in and out. We had family support. Those are the things that we want to try to re-energize in the community. We need to let these kids know that there are people out there that care about them, and we're going to fight to do that. You know, a lot of times we get bound up in the government. We always ask the government or the city to do this or complain about what the city's not doing. We need to do this stuff for ourselves.
Self-help.
You know, we get together. Nobody's making any profit from this event.
Nope.
Nobody's rich. We come out of our pockets to do this with donations and just money out of our pockets, but we feel convicted. We've got to do this. We can't sit back and point fingers, oh, well, the mayor's not doing it. The mayor's, we've got young ladies who have taken people from Martin Luther King Boulevard where they evicted people and put them in hotels and in their personal houses.
Yep.
You know, so we don't have to continually look at the government and say the government's not doing this, the government's not doing that. We can do this for each other like we used to do. Rent parties when we were kids. Somebody didn't have rent money. We would get together and pay their rent. People don't do that anymore. We need to go back to those values.
We need to start caring about each other and stop being self, you know, being self first. We need to start being a community. When we grew up, and I say we because, like you said, you 70, I'm 56, he whatever. You know what I'm saying? So this is where we grew up, and we lost that in the 80s and the 90s. You know, when Martin died, Malcolm died, we lost a lot of things. We got to find ourselves again.
One of the things I've been thinking a lot about, I'm thinking about what the kids are going to experience here and who you – well, let me stop before I go there. Let me just ask this question. Who is going to be there? Who is going to be at this incredible book festival? Who's going to be at the festival itself?
We've got some surprises. There are a few people who want to remain anonymous, and we respect that. They're going to be poets, some well-known people who have done some things around the city, activists. We also want to use this as a network event because, as I said, most of the people who are quote-unquote vendors have informational issues that they can help the community with. So it's also an opportunity for us to sit down and kind of put a plan together and kick some ideas around. The event's only from 12 to 5, but we figure out from 5 on, we're going to be sitting down and getting some strategies in place. And,
coming up with solutions to problems.
That's right. And again, we don't ask anybody for anything. We go out and do this. We put out a phone call or a Facebook ad, and we come together and we get the job done. Whether it's feeding, we fed over 1,500 people a couple of weeks ago at an event. So we don't ask for anything from the city. We just go get it done. But that's a good thing about it also, Mark, that Shorty said. We have people from different faiths, beliefs. We all come together with different socioeconomic. We just come together and get the job done. We don't swore with us. We get it done. Whatever we need, we just put out a call and people come. They come up. They step up. And that's the initiative that we want. We want people who are going to step up.
We want to start showing the good in the community instead of sick shot here, so-and-so got robbed. We want to show that we got more good in our community and people that are doing good things in the community versus the negativity that you see on mainstream media. We got to start showing it. We got to start being it. And we got to encourage other people to be a part of it.
So, Dileto, I'm curious what drew you to this. Were you here at the beginning of this festival, of the creation of this festival, or what drew you into it?
Well, I just, it was Dileto's fault. He actually sent me a post on Facebook, and I said, sure, I'd love to be a part of it. And that's kind of how I got involved. He just made the personal invitation. Unfortunately, I won't be able to stay for the whole event. I actually will be teaching a blues vocals workshop at the Augusta Heritage Center in Elkins, West Virginia.
Oh, wow.
I'll be pulling out a little early that day, but I will be there definitely to start the proceedings off. So I'm excited.
I think, and it's important to, I think, and this is open to everybody to come to, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anybody in the city.
Anybody.
Yes.
Because one of the things I've been obsessed with of late, and this may not fit into this May, though, considering everything you all said, is that I think we as a people in this country, in this society, have to come to grips with the fact and realize what it means that we are, America, an Afro-Indo-Euro nation. We've always been this Euro nation, by how people wanted to define it, right?
Right.
But definition was never real from the beginning. And
absolutely.
For us to come to grips with the fact that we are this nation, there's an Afro-Indo-Euro nation, for all this made what we are. I mean, and part of kind of reaching back into the into time and pulling back the old ways that you were talking about, to let the it's important for us to begin to understand that.
They're proven. Look at us. You know, look at how we grew up. We're examples.
We're still alive, ain't we? Yeah. We ain't, you know, our parents didn't have to bury us. We buried our parents. And nowadays, look how many kids we're burying. That's not the design of life. That's not life at all.
And that's one of the reasons I'm really passionate about teaching history and using performance to help do that, because I tell my students that when our enemies, if you want to use that word, send our service people home in body bags, they don't celebrate and say, oh, I got a black one, or oh, I got a yellow one, or oh, I got, they just say, you know, to them it's just another dead American. And I think we have forgotten that in a major, major way. We've got to realize that, you know, as the adage goes, we either are going to, you know, we're going to thrive together or we're not.
Right. I think that it's I think mostly we didn't know that, you know. There were some people, our ancestors, who did. I mean, Harriet Tubman and John Brown were close. They were dear friends. They were in a struggle together. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, so,
I mean,
yes.
And so that, but so that's the kind of route we have to go back to bring to the front to build the future.
Sure.
To define who we are and where we're going.
He who knows his past can control his future. And if we sit here and go to the teachings that we got from the past and mix them up and bring it back to this day, it'll work.
Imagine if the kids of the day had the knowledge that we have now. And can we instill that knowledge and the experiences, moreover, because you really don't know anything until you experience it and actually do it. So if we give the kids the experience and the wisdom of our experiences now, they can bypass some of these pitfalls that are standing in their way. The key is to get the kids to listen. You know, kids first need to know that you care about them.
Right.
A kid's not going to listen to anything you say until he knows that you care about him. And he can trust you. So that's what we want to do. We want to do this event. And I say event, it shouldn't be an event when people come together and minister to the children. But it, unfortunately, it is an event.
It's a celebration.
Yeah, exactly. And we want to do this on a regular basis. And we want to go from one neighborhood to the next neighborhood to the next neighborhood throughout the summer. We even got plans on doing this throughout the winter. So the kids know that we really and honestly care about them and we have their best interests at heart.
As you put in one of your Facebook posts, Gillette, let's pass the truth. Pass the truth to the next generation. Teach them early what we learn late.
That was Shorty.
Shorty, you came up with that?
My right-hand man.
And you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing things in the community since I came to Baltimore. I've been doing books and barbecue since 2009. We give away free books and free food in communities across Baltimore. I've given away well over 15,000 books with the aid of Jennifer Francis, a lady out of Florida, called Best the Book Bus. And we've been doing this continuously. Shelley Helping Hands, Amanda Made. We got enough people that can make a difference, that are the difference in Baltimore.
We got some books for you then.
I'll come pick them up. Call me. I'll come get them.
We'll give them to you.
Uh-oh.
We will.
So this that's what it is. It's
I donated y'all some books last year.
That's right.
I gave y'all like a couple hundred books.
and I just want to add, Gillette, you commented about how much this is needed. This week I'm working with, for the next few weeks, even after next week, I'm working with some youth in our community, and the stories that they have, you know, how they come in even to the site that we're on during the day, and just in a week and a half, the amount of trust that we've had to build, the challenges that some of these children are coming into school with or into camp or their work sites with. It's just unbelievable that students this age are dealing with the kinds of things that they're dealing with. Mm. And so our job becomes not even just teacher, but sometimes counselor, sometimes babysitter, sometimes referee. So this is just so needed. It's so, so needed. I can't begin to describe it. You know, all of you know.
So this is the first annual African Griot Book Fair for our children.
Yes, sir.
Coming up this Sunday, noon to 5 p.m., Druid Hill Park, the Columbus Pavilion. Hit Druid Hill Park. Listen for the drums, follow the beat, follow the sound,
we'll
and you will
there.
Find them. They
we'll
will be there. And they will be, Gillette Dickens, who's here in the studio, trusted servant, the African Griot Book Fair for our children, Deletta Gillespie, singer-songwriter, teacher who will be there doing workshops, and Shorty Davis, partner and ally of the African Griot Book Fair for our children, and be serving some food and being part of the center of the peace, bringing
good spirits.
Generations together and good spirit together.
Good spirits.
Good to have you all here. Be a good Sunday.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Hope you can find a minute to come by.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring some of that lamb or something. I'll cook it for you.
All right, you got that. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You listen to the Mark Steiner Show here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And on our way to break, we'll hear Moanin' by Lee Morgan, who was born on this day in 1938.